Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. Frank, what episode is it? I know you're ready to say it.
Yeah.
What the
heck? 69, yeah.
And he has to say it like a pedophile.
Yeah.
69.
What the? Okay, let's just move on. I was hoping for excitement for it to be 69. Instead, we get pedophile Frank.
69.
Yeah. He's still doing the pedophile voice. God, that's scary. Nah. It's like
it sounds like he's Frank's trying to do like
got,
a Beavis.
Frank's even got the beard and the glasses. He'd be like the guy sitting in the van. Come here, little kid. I've got candy for you.
No. I took it as like trying to sound like Beavis.
I have a My Little Pony shirt on, so that's not even
Frank. We all know you're Frank, secretly a brony.
No. We all know you hide them somewhere under your closet.
No.
Into your closet.
He's got. You go in his house, you hit the red button, and it opens up a secret closet with a My Little Pony collection.
So it's him and his special.
Shit, that's where I keep all my Batman.
He's got the vintage My Little Ponies from the '80s and stuff. You know.
No.
And he strokes their manes.
And a special sock drawer that keeps the socks that are hard. They're hardened for some reason.
Crusty.
I don't want. Yeah.
The ones with fond memories.
Yeah.
That's just fucking creepy.
Whenever he watches Boner Jams 3000 or whatever.
Matt knows what
Boner Jams.
Hey. He has a collection.
I'm just going to say whatever floats your boat.
Or sinks it.
No, that'll sink a boat there. I'll drown the ponies on the boat.
All right, then. So, what's going on? Anything new?
A lot of Comic Palooza news coming through.
We're going to talk Comic Palooza here in a bit. We got a new trailer, a small movie. It's not that big a movie.
Yeah, not that big a movie.
Yeah, it's called Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we could
people
talk about that.
Listen to our new episode. We're going to have a new episode. We're going to have a new episode of Remnants of Rebellion where me and Matt will go more in depth on it, but. For this episode of Rebel Radio, yeah, we got a new Star Wars trailer. Our first look, finally, at Episode 8, directed by Rian Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard his name pronounced Rian Johnson, even though it's R-I-A-N. I don't know what the correct way to say his name is. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's darker.
It is
from the looks of it. We get some Luke dialogue, other than just the ultimate stare down at the end of The Force Awakens.
Yeah, so he can actually talk.
We get a look at Rey training. It's a teaser, but yet it shows a lot. It's a lot of shots of, we get a shot of Poe, we get a shot of BB-8, we get a shot of Finn in there. Still looks like
pod
injured.
Racing.
Yeah, I know, pod racing.
Or some sort of, I read somewhere that planet is called Crait, and it's like a mining planet.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of uncharted. And,
There's supposed to be
some sort of mining vehicles, is what they were saying. And that dust they're kicking up is like something that they mine there. That's what I was reading.
Oh, okay.
It's confirmed by Rian Johnson. It's like a mining planet. So we got a little bit of looks of everything. A look at the back of Leia's head. A look at Kylo Ren's mask destroyed. We don't know what that means.
Yeah.
That's Vader's mask.
Is it Kylo Ren's?
It's Vader's.
No, you think? I looked at the still picture of it blown up. It's Kylo's.
I thought it was Kylo's.
It's Kylo Ren's mask.
We'll see. Someone's posted something about.
We'll see. It's Kylo's mask. I've seen the photo blown up. It's Kylo's mask.
Are you sure?
Yes. In high resolution.
Are you sure?
We got to see.
How can you high resolute such a small? Make it any better?
We looked at a look at Rey looking at what looks like the Journal of the Wills, possibly. And we see the Jedi logo.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot to take in this trailer.
What do you see? Light and darkness.
You know, we don't know where they're going with it. A lot's being made about what Luke says at the end. There's only one truth. The Jedi must end. Maybe I paraphrase that a little bit. That has people talking the most at the end of it. And we're not going to speculate too much on this show because that's what we do on our Star Wars podcast. But anticipations at a fever pitch, I would say, for this movie. I would dare say that this is more highly anticipated than even The Force Awakens. Because The Force Awakens, people were still kind of, it's new Star Wars, but still the taste from the prequels was still in their mouth. They weren't sure what to make of it. Then when I think The Force Awakens really saw a push the last two or three weeks before the movie came out. People started catching that fever. The reviews started coming out of The Force Awakens, and the reviews were really good.
Mm-hmm.
So people were like, okay, I have to go see this. But now, because we've had two very good Star Wars movies from Disney, this might be the most anticipated Star Wars movie, maybe the most anticipated film of all time. And that's a brave thing to say, but I think Last Jedi has eclipsed a lot of things as far as excitement over a new movie. Because people were just sitting by their computers the last 3 or 4 weeks waiting for any news or waiting for the trailer. John, I'd agree?
I do agree.
Yeah.
I know you were.
I mean,
I looked at it at midnight. I was up, but I looked at it at midnight trying to see if there was a trailer that was going to be released like first thing. And then when I saw I woke up and then there was one.
Right.
And, probably aired like 5 minutes after
you I know, went right?
to bed.
Well, no, they ended up not releasing until Friday morning. They did wait.
No, I'm just joking.
It was about 11 o'clock our time. They waited till the end of the panel. And then another thing, I really like the poster. It's different than any posters we got for The Force Awakens. Very retro, you know, with Rey holding the saber in the middle, splitting Luke and Kylo's faces. A lot of darkness and light going on there.
Yes.
A lot of possible foreshadowing, you know, and really cool. I want that poster. I really want to find a copy of it. I don't care if I don't get the theatrical version. If I can find a $5 copy at Walmart or something, I really want that poster. So I think it's safe to say that's the most anticipated film of the year.
Yes.
So far.
So yeah. Far. So far.
Unless they surprise us with something new that nobody knows.
Yeah. Captain Underpants. No?
Captain
no.
Underpants. No.
No. No.
Oh. Another trailer hit yesterday, but it's a television trailer. It kind of came out, it kind of leaked out. So Sci-Fi Channel just said, okay, we're going to put it out there. We know that they had been developing, David Goyer, who wrote The Dark Knight, Man of Steel, had been developing a Krypton television series. It's a prequel to Superman. A unique idea, because it's an era we've never really seen before. There's been a few never comics really over mentioned. The years that have talked about the early days of Krypton, but nothing we've ever seen on film or television. It's not the same as the Smallville prequel where, you know, because basically Smallville is a prequel to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
This all takes place on the planet Krypton, and it looks really cool, actually. It is Sci-Fi Network, so it kind of has that Sci-Fi Network look to it. But it surprisingly looks very well done. Will Sci-Fi Channel keep the budgets up to keep that going for however many episodes they do a season? We'll see.
Gotta have
it
Jennifer
looks
Zod.
Really fucking expensive. Well, I don't know, because this is Superman's grandfather. So Zod might not even be alive, if you consider that Zod and Superman are about the same age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Zod's the same age as his dad.
Yeah, that should be right.
Well, see, I've always wondered that, because in the movies, they always had Zod look like about the age of Jor-El, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe you age differently on Krypton, because then, all of a sudden, even in Christopher Reeve Superman and Henry Cavill, Man of Steel, they go to Earth and they grow up. And then, like, they're Zod the same age.
Yeah, but you got to think of it like this. They're not going to stay awake and travel from
maybe it's
the distance
zone?
Of Krypton to Earth and stay awake the entire time. That's a good time of travel. So you figure they'd probably go into sleep pods as well.
No, I understand that. I'm talking about that Zod was on Krypton and everything. Remember?
But that's what I'm saying.
But
Zod is the same age as...
I know, but they never explain that. Is what I'm saying.
But then when he goes, he's put in the dark zone,
well,
which probably slows down time.
Well, that was in Christopher Reeve's Superman. Did Zod ever? Well, yeah, they did put Zod in the Phantom Zone.
So the Phantom Zone changes time.
So you know, but anyway, but this takes place. So this is their grandfather. So Zod and Clark Kent aren't even really born yet.
Yeah.
Or Jor-El, because Jor-El is going to be the son of this guy. It's in this movie. They're calling Seg-El. Kind of strange sounding. But, you know, it could work. It's an interesting time in the Superman mythos that if it's well done, it could be exciting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's an area that hasn't been ventured for before. It's especially that far back on Krypton. It always shows the launch, you know, before the planet blows up is usually what we see in DC animated movies or the movies that have been put out, you know, whether it's Christopher Reeve or Henry
Cavill.
I forgot his last name.
You know, like, I don't know all the Superman stuff, but... You could also have a war with their sistering planet.
Oh, yeah. Well, there were wars.
You know, that could be involved. They could also show the choices that they make that lead to the eventual destruction of Krypton.
Yeah, because...
Like, oh, we should do this and this and this. And then you know that background story of like, okay, these were the decisions that were made that
and we
led
all know
to the ultimate destruction of the planet.
Jor-El foresaw the destruction of the planet. And I guess, you know, the new thing was that Zod wanted to, you know, inhabit another planet, find another planet, and keep stealing. And you know, Jor-El was just like, this is the end. you know, this is, you know, we're doomed, you know, we're, this is our destiny. And before they were, you know, cast out to the Phantom Zone. So we'll see the kind of destruction that they did, you know, before they blew up.
Well, you know, prequels are the popular thing right now.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before. I have a lot of problems with Gotham as a Batman fan.
Yes.
The show's not bad, but it just doesn't make sense. Bruce is a kid. The Riddler, Penguin, everyone's 10 years.
And now the Joker?
They're all 10 years older than him. That makes no sense, because my idea of growing up reading Batman was that Bruce Wayne is always in his 30s, probably, early 30s. And most of these villains are around his same age, some maybe even younger than him. Now all of a sudden, he's younger than all the villains, you know, and it's like, why I have so many problems with Gotham? And I like the idea of this Krypton prequels, because they went and they're going to take an era that's never been touched before.
Yeah.
So they're not confined to making sure that Superman and Zod and Jor-El all fit into it. This is even before Jor-El, so it's something we haven't seen. And the idea of several Kryptonians that are on this planet that could have powers and different abilities could be really cool, you know, if done correctly. And Sci-Fi Channel has certainly shown that they're capable of making good television series. They make some terrible movies, you know.
Yeah.
But Battlestar Galactica was well received. I haven't watched 12 Monkeys, but I know it's been well received since it's been on.
Starting another season up here soon.
You know, I know they've had a few other shows that have been mid-range well received. So Sci-Fi Channel is definitely capable.
See, I like Dark Matters.
You know.
Oh, Dark Matter?
On, yeah, I like Dark Matter that came on there, you know. But yeah, I mean, I hope that they do involve like other alien races on Krypton, and not just human-looking people all the time.
And there's things you could do, like, you could actually do things like Darkseid in this, because as far as we know, Darkseid's been around a long time. You know, he could have had Wars of the Kryptonians even before Superman was around.
Easily.
You know, I think Brainiac was created later on, because he was some sort of artificial intelligence that was created.
Wasn't he created to actually help them?
I don't remember the complete story of Brainiac. There's all kinds of possibilities with this show, though. And it could be fun. So we'll see how it turns out. It's supposed to air this fall on
CW?
The Sci-Fi Channel.
Sci-Fi Channel.
No.
CW?
Because it's all DC.
CW is already overloaded.
No, that's why I said that. I was joking.
Legends, Arrow,
all the other DC stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
So the other news that came out yesterday was, I guess, Disney showed some footage from the Black Panther to shareholders and some people in the media. And word came out of it that, man, Black Panther, they're saying, looks different than any Marvel movie we've ever seen. That was one of the things that Coogler, the director, I hope I'm not butchering his name.
I was going to say.
That's his last name. That he kept turning it down for almost a year. He didn't want to do Black Panther unless Marvel let him do it the way he wanted to do it. Marvel usually uses their own editors, their own people, but he convinced Marvel to let him bring in his own people, his own cinematographer. It's going to be the first film that's shot by a female in the Marvel Universe, because he has a female cinematographer and his own editor and everything. And obviously we know the cast looks great with Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nguyen, Chadwick Boseman. I think that's how you say his name. He's playing Black Panther. It's a really excellent African-American cast. And this movie...
Winter Soldier and Captain America should be in it as well, right?
Possibly. You know, we'll see if they appear in it. They've told people that the first trailer should be out late summer, which that makes sense, just before Thor comes out and the movie comes out in February. And they were just saying that there's all kinds of, like, just crazy stuff in this movie, like people doing weird stunts you never seen before in Marvel films, characters with laser blasters on their hands, the technology and the wonderment of Wakanda is unlike any world you've ever seen, because mostly we've seen cities. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to see this whole, like, it's not a planet because it's on Earth, but it's like this hidden
jungle island
fortress, you know, that they said looks technologically advanced, but also looks like it could be, you know, it's African. They were saying it's just amazing, the look of the film. And I have to say, I'm really looking forward to Black Panther. I mean, yeah, we've got Guardians and Spider-Man and Thor coming out, but I think with the Marvel Universe, I really want to see new stuff.
Yeah, and something different.
And I think that's why I enjoy Doctor Strange. And Black Panther, growing up, was always a character I really liked. I've always liked characters that didn't have ultimate superpowers. That's why I've always been a fan of Batman and Daredevil and Black Panther. I like characters that have abilities. And, you know, I like superpowers too, but I always thought it was cool to see a guy like Black Panther be there with the Fantastic Four and help them. And I'm really looking forward to next February to seeing this film.
It's going to be awesome. Comes out just in time for Valentine's Day?
I think so.
So take your woman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
have yourself a nice
like
date.
You like cats, right?
Yeah. This is a big cat. This is a big kitty.
Right. Apparently, they also showed some early costume work for Ant-Man and Wasp, which starts filming in about 2 or 3 weeks, they said. I didn't realize Ant-Man and Wasp was coming out next year.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
I'm not a big fan of Ant-Man. I think it's the weakest of the Marvel Cinematic Universes. I'd put it last. I would put it literally dead last, even behind Iron Man 2. I think Iron Man 2 is pretty bad, too. I don't want to use the word bad, because I don't think there's really a bad
underwhelming
film
underwhelming
in MCU, but yeah, underwhelming. I think Ant-Man is the most underwhelming film.
I think, as we've all pointed out, it's pretty much
Iron Man
light.
It's funny, I walked out of the theaters, I really enjoyed it. What got it for me before is when I tried to rewatch it, I'm like, God, this is so boring. You know, the only scenes I care about is when he turns into Ant-Man, you know? And so Ant-Man and Wasp, we'll see. They're bringing back Peyton Reed to direct the sequel, who directed the first one, and I kind of was hoping maybe for some new blood in there. And they said, though, that the Wasp costumes look really cool. Like, she apparently has three different costumes she might be wearing. And
ooh.
And they just were showing some off. And they also showed off Captain Marvel's concept art for her costume that Brie Larson's going to be playing. And but they said that's not finalized. And I didn't realize how closely Marvel works with their actors, that they will send her stuff. And Brie Larson looks at it, and it's not like an actor just comes in and does a job, that they really reach out to their actors and try to get their approval on things.
Right, like, you know, how it's cut, and how much skin you're willing to show.
Kevin Feige also said that a director for Captain Marvel should be announced in the next couple of months, because that's coming out in 2019. So you would think that they're going to have to get a director on board soon to start developing a film that's, you know, a year and a half away. So that's the latest going on in the world of movie news.
Will they bring back Joss Whedon? No,
probably he's not. Doing Batgirl now, apparently. Remember? Apparently,
yeah.
So, it's time, in the middle of our show, for Face Off.
Oh, crap. It's Face Off.
Cass. You want to take his face?
Yes. His face.
I won last time, so I get to pick. So far, the tallies are Mark 2, Frank 2, and Matt 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, if you come out with a win today, you'll be tied. Three-way tie. Not a three-way threesome. 69, Frank.
You can't get 69.
I saw you getting creepy excited over there because the episode is 69.
No, you can't get 69.
So, all right, are y'all ready? Here's today's topics for Face Off. Remember, you both get a couple minutes to say why your theme would win. We're going big today, guys. Big. The Avengers versus the Justice League.
Justice League.
Okay, go ahead.
You got freaking Superman. You have an unbeatable force better than the Hulk. I mean, Thor would be defeated. Hulk would be defeated. Probably take both of them on at one time. You have the ultimate strategist. I mean, and he's probably had all this prep time because he's been watching these Marvel movies. Batman's been watching these Marvel movies. And he just has this plan to where, I mean, they're going to be defeated easily. He's probably going to have this big magnifying glass in front of like Superman's vision, and it's just going to burn, probably blow half the world up in the process, but he's going to take out the Avengers easily. You have Wonder Woman, also another big force. I mean, they've got too many guns. There's too many guns and too many minds at work at DC. As much as I love Marvel for the sake of Marvel, I mean, Deadpool, I don't think he could survive being incinerated to a piece of molecule, you know, by Superman. So I think
Deadpool's not in the Avengers.
But he could be. He could be.
But he's not.
But he's not.
He could be.
We're going with the base teams here.
Okay, base teams. Aquaman, I hear he talks to fish. And he looks pretty scary.
Really?
Yeah. So there's that too.
Does he like sushi too?
He probably doesn't like sushi. Probably offensive.
Smells a little too fish.
Yeah.
Too fishy.
And then you have the Flash. Now, the Flash is supposed to be quicker than Quicksilver.
All right, Frank.
And there's that.
How do the Avengers defeat the Justice League?
Well, it says half of his team was apparently Superman. Right? So,
and Batman.
Okay. Here's how, for one, easily Superman's eliminated from this fight. So they know they're going into this fight. So I, Tony Stark, find some kryptonite.
Wait, how is Superman eliminated?
Hang on. I, Tony Stark, a.k.a. also a billionaire.
Batman's, you know, thought of this already.
Get some kryptonite. Hang on. But not just get some kryptonite, but you take it and you put it around Thor's hammer. Okay?
Ah.
You have, real quick, both Hulk and Thor take down Superman. He slams the hammer down on Superman's chest. Superman ain't going nowhere. He's done. Ain't nobody else on Superman's team going to come over there and take that hammer off of him. Wait, Flash can't even run fast enough. Flash tries to run by, grabs it. He'll rip an arm off if he tries to grab Thor's hammer as he's running, thinking, oh, I can use my speed. It ain't going to happen. So basically, everybody else is now outnumbered and outstrengthed by the Thor and Hulk right there. Iron Man goes up against Batman. You're done. You got Captain America taking on Wonder Woman. You got Black Widow also teaming up with Captain America taking on Wonder Woman. There's just too many numbers to take them out. Flash will just keep running around, running around.
We have a close race. So, I'm going to give you a chance to rebuttal.
Rebuttal.
You get a minute and a half or so, and then he may have a chance to, because this is too close. Because there's a character you're forgetting, Martian Manhunter. Okay? So, rebuttal.
Okay, rebuttal. Martian Manhunter. No.
I can't believe you're forgetting him, man.
I know, I forgot about Martian Manhunter. But I think it's less about... It's less about that. You know, I know Martian Manhunter, he can turn into the white alien thing.
The white Wonder Woman.
I did mention Wonder Woman. I did mention her, but I didn't go in depth. But this is more about Batman. And he's already schemed for all of this, Frank.
No, that's why we got Iron Man.
Already, give him a chance.
He's already read all these comics about
the comics.
And he has this huge database full of stuff, and he finds out how to destroy Thor's hammer. And so he actually goes back and finds out that Thor is actually not the son of Odin's son. You know, he's actually, you know, the son of Ron Jeremy. So, you know, he no longer has the power of Thor because he's no longer worthy. You know, he's just a, you know, Clay Matthews lookalike. So that eliminates him. Batman's already thought of all of this.
No.
And then...
Nope. Yeah. You don't think that Tony Stark wouldn't think of all this, too?
Nope, he wouldn't, because Tony is too drunk off his ass to
think of all this. Probably true.
That's the best way to go about things. It's a little drunk. Okay, for your Martian Manhunter thing, Vision. We got Vision.
Yeah.
He has a freaking stone. So
he's stoned?
You know, he has one of the Infinity Stones.
The Sorcerer's Stone.
You know, so... Right there. So, yeah, I mean, there's really, they're on them. And plus, come on. Batman sat there. Wonder Woman sat there. They saw what happened with Thor. They about shitted their pants watching it. And they know they're going to get their asses whipped when Thor comes out.
Okay.
It's a tough one, Mark.
I think.
It's a tough.
I think in the first time in the history of Face Off, we have a draw. I think you guys both gave good arguments. Maths were a little more the silly side, but I just can't pick one. If you the meat and bones of it is, it's basically Tony's mind versus Bruce's mind, and they both would come up with ways to help their teams win. And I think even if I was reading comics, I think there's no way Justice League and Avengers don't end in a draw. You know,
So then at the end of this, we just have another where Captain America sends Batman a letter going, but we'll still be friends.
Yes.
So y'all both get a point for a tie point. So Matt, you're one and one.
One and a half.
One and a half.
And I'm in the lead still two and a half.
He is in the lead.
So next face off, I guess.
Wait, so we both just asked Mark a question and he battles.
No, next face off. No. I will do the question again next face off, so I'm giving y'all a second chance to win another point.
Okay.
So,
but that's fine. That's fine. Because check this out, right? You win, you're 2.5. I'm still at 2.5.
Well,
this bitch is still going to be at 2.
Well, I think
so. We're tied at 3.5 of him. And if I win, I get 3.5.
Well, I'll figure out the point thing later. Okay, so there's some news we skipped over real quick. I forgot. As we were recording last week, actually, this news broke. Josh Brolin is playing Cable.
Yes.
And awesome. we need to talk about it really quickly. So he's also Thanos. So he's in two Marvel universes. He's in the X-Men universe now and the Marvel Cinematic universe. And, you know, it's funny, man. As we were talking over the last few months, everyone was like, oh, Stephen Lang, Ron Perlman, Pierce Bronson.
There's a lot of good actors.
Everyone had this name that could came up. And I never thought Josh Brolin. Now I really think about it. I'm like, yeah, I like
it. Out of left field.
Yeah.
I like it a lot because if you've seen Brolin in anything, like especially like a prime example is Men in Black 3, where he plays Tommy Lee Jones as a younger version.
Oh, yeah.
And he plays that straight man against Will Smith's wisecracking guy. I think he will work really well against Ryan Reynolds. I like this casting. Does Brolin have the scruff to maybe he'll work out? Maybe he'll get buff.
Most of them do.
The costume, yeah. I'm sure, will make up for some of that. They'll make Cable look badass.
Really, from what I remember of his costume, it's just a chest piece.
And the metal arm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that. But, otherwise, as far as his arms.
If the creators of Deadpool can make a fully realized Colossus on screen, I think they can make a fully realized Deadpool. And I'm more excited about Deadpool 2 than I was first Deadpool, because as y'all know, I think Deadpool's okay at best. I don't think it's the greatest character Marvel's ever created.
Well, I'm excited because it'll hopefully bring us a X-Force movie. We can kind of put the X-Men on a back burner for a bit.
Working on an X-Force movie, apparently. Yeah. So Josh Brolin's Cable. Pretty cool, huh?
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was out of left field for me. I thought Pierce Brosnan was going to get it. Or
I really like Pierce Brosnan in the role, too.
I thought Keira Knightley would have got
Keira Knightley, really.
Yeah.
Really.
Yep.
Why don't we just put Pamela Anderson in there as Cable? I mean, she was barbed wire already.
Yeah, she was.
You know?
Can you
imagine that chess piece?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. All right, so Comicpalooza 2017. We are, again, part of the Comicpalooza podcast partnership, and we will be there recording live from the show floor at some point that weekend. And they just announced more guests. It looks like we're headed towards an entire lineup of Marvel and Netflix. They announced. Who do they announce?
Defenders.
They're announcing the Defenders slowly. We've already had Luke Cage announce. Finn Jones plays Iron Fist. Today, as we record, they announced Charlie Cox, who plays Daredevil. They announced, I can't think of the actor's name, who plays Foggy Nelson yesterday. He'll be there.
Yep.
They announced the girl from Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a given that we're going to see Christian Ritter announced the next day or two, who plays Jessica Jones.
But what I like is the fact that the guy who plays Froggy, he's like one of those characters that you like the show because of.
And if Froggy's there, maybe we'll get Trinity.
You know, and the same thing.
Possibly.
People don't give Iron Fist high reviews.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing the people that I talk to say that one character that they do like is the the martial arts girl that's in there. I forget the character's name.
I know who you mean.
But even though she was part of the bad guys without really knowing
it. She didn't know, yeah.
You know, the fact that you really like that character. And you like the fact that they redeemed her in the sense that they just didn't write her off.
Yeah.
She wasn't written off as like, oh, she was a bad guy, wanted to do good, and they killed her off some way that they're actually going to keep her around for more seasons, depending on how they develop down the road with the show.
Jeffrey Cantor, who plays Mitchell Ellison in Daredevil. I don't remember his character, but he's there. Eldon Henson is the guy who plays Foggy Nelson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then, of course, John Bernthal, who plays The Punisher, was announced.
Exactly. Yes.
And also Shane in The Walking Dead, so you've got two genres that he brings in there and everything. So
with all the other dead Walking Dead characters. So it's like I find it funny the Walking Dead characters that they're bringing in, they're all dead. All these characters in The Walking Dead are dead. The guy who played his name's escaping me. We got lost with Carol and the girls.
Yeah, they just need to bring a couple more actors from The Walking Dead and the dude that plays Shake and like be part of two panels.
I think all these people
or two photo op things.
Yeah, they need to bring in Andrea.
Well, she was there last year, remember? But she was hardly ever at our table. I heard she was sick a lot or something like that.
Yeah.
It looks like they're going for the Defenders lineup. I think John Bernthal is really cool, the Punisher.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox is really cool. I'm a big Daredevil fan, so I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're going to have a full Defenders lineup. I'm just guessing. I don't know. But
they already started selling Defender speed passes whenever they had just Finn on there.
So it looks like that's the route they're going. Another oddball one, they announced Judge Reinhold, the actor.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Like Judge Reinhold. Beverly Hills Cop, Santa Claus, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a unique. Paul Wesley, who's in Vampire Diaries. Not really my thing, but I'm sure the girls out there will like, oh,
now she wants to go.
He's so sexy.
You also got the guy that was in Boy Meets World, Yes. So you got two pretty boys that girls will like.
She's like, oh, now we're going. She's like, now we're going. Oh, Stefan's
she might,
there.
So she might actually stay for more than an hour?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I'm going to have to get someone to watch the kids, though, because she ain't. That's whenever she gets anxious, whenever she has to watch the kids.
Yeah.
Then they just announced here while we were recording, her name is Pom Clementeef, if I'm saying it right. She plays Mantis in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh.
Which isn't even in theaters yet.
Wow.
So we will have a, and she, I guess she was in Spike Lee's Old Boy, apparently.
Huh.
And she will be there the weekend of Compalooza, just a week after Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is in theaters.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so she'll be there.
How many Star-Lords do you think we see at this Compalooza?
Probably way too many.
Who's the reigning? I think that's going to be like the reigning cosplay, like Guardians. I think Guardians would be.
You think so?
The reigning cosplay. I mean, I could be wrong. We could see.
I'm hoping for some Groots, some raccoons. Just ooh, we just capture. I saw this raccoon dude that was as big as their dog.
Yeah.
Last night when I was over here, and I think we should just capture that thing.
Take him to a taxidermist.
You're not bringing a raccoon to Compalooza. They probably want to lay.
Just take it and you know, dart it.
Yeah.
Put it to sleep. Slap some foam cosplay stuff on it.
Yeah.
Put it in a cage and just sneak it into the convention and let it run around and see like, how many people try to go up and take a picture with it.
Be like, hey,
and it's all like, so, scratching their faces.
So as we get ready for Compalooza 2017, I would love for people to go on our Facebook page, which you can link through TrustMeOJ.com, which is, of course, where you find our podcast. And leave us ideas of what you might want us to talk about at our live show. You know, that'd be great. And while you're there, stop and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Absolutely.
And
yes, please.
So, Matt, this will be your third Compalooza. You're still kind of a rookie
yes,
at it.
Yes, I am.
You started
still kind
the first year we did a live show. Me and Frank, veterans, mm-hmm. been doing this since 2011. And so, what are some of your Compalooza memories? What's like your best memory so far? Whoever wants to go first.
Getting
Compalooza's past.
You know, getting Eliza Dushku to sign that print. In front of me, that was pretty cool because she actually talked to me a little bit and she told me my cosplay was cool. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. She thinks it's cool.
Do you have that in a frame?
I do. No, it's not in a frame yet.
You have it framed with a plastic cover? Because I have a plastic cover. You do with that photo at night sometimes.
Yeah.
The plastic cover
you
is on it.
Laminated.
So it is laminated. Plastic yeah. cover at least.
She's all like hot and sweaty and she's about to stab a vampire in it. She's got a. She's
it
got
makes
a
you all hot
spike.
And sweaty, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I have to hide it from Jackie so she doesn't try and take it away and hide it.
I bet any other Compalooza memories over the couple of years you've been?
Having my son take a picture with Lou Ferrigno, because my son loves the Hulk, so he had to get a picture with the original Hulk.
And how much did you pay for that?
$45.
You're an idiot. But anyway, continue.
I thought he would be like, oh, it's a kid, you know. It's
Lou is all about the money.
Yep, I can tell.
And so have you, other than Lou being all about the money, did you have any... Other than good, yeah. Did you have any bad celebrity experiences? Any of the people you talked to?
Well, I mean, I wish like maybe things that would have been a little bit better with Lou, like we mentioned. You know, I thought maybe you know if he saw my son run up there, you know, oh, you know, I want to get a picture with the Hulk, and maybe he'd be like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, no, maybe a price cut or something. Right. But no, it was the full amount. A little disappointed there, and then, I mean, you know, I have missed the photo op with Kate Beckinsdale. I really wanted that, and I was going to get it, but it's like the line was so freaking long. It was crazy, man. I couldn't do it. You know, I wish they had like maybe more time for photo ops is probably, you know, one of the down things that I'll say, but there's a lot of people that are going to show up.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to really govern
and
that.
Especially like last year, once they announced Charlie Hunnam at the last minute, it caused a chaos because they put Charlie Hunnam on the side of the photo ops because they had to find somewhere for him at the last minute.
Yeah.
And it just made that side of the room look like a massive wall
a
of people.
Sea wall, yeah.
You know, couldn't get through, man.
And it was huge. Frank, best Compalooza memories?
Oh, man, I have like quite a few.
We'll pick two or three, you know.
I'll pick.
Not the time three. That you were in the bathroom and
no,
Punisher
no.
gave you a rim job. Yeah. You know.
No, he didn't punish me. But anyway, now, one of the biggest ones was, of course, Machete.
Machete.
Yeah, how cool this guy is. You know, go ahead and say his name, Mark, because you like saying his name. But the fact that, you know, just the way he treats his fans. You know, you figure, I'm not saying that you would, but, you know, you see him and he plays all these hard roles. and everything, you just see the kind of sit there and just kind of like signing autographs and the person on the way, sign their autographs and the person on their way type person, you know, and just not like be really talkative. But he's a fanboy, you know, in a sense, like he just didn't sign autographs. He walked the floor. He went up to artists, appreciated the artwork that a lot of the artists did, you know.
That's awesome.
I approached him to a friend of ours, gave him some artwork. He really appreciated that. Signed the same type of artwork for Mark here, and got him to go up to the table and, you know, take a photo with the artist and everything. So I just how nice he was incredible. I got to meet, you know, in a sense, not meet me, but got an autograph from one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Ric Flair, last year.
Oh yeah.
So
Nature Boy,
so,
Ric yes. Flair. Woo! In the presence
of one of the greatest wrestling performers of all time.
And one of the best shit talkers ever.
Yes. I mean,
my shoes cost more than your house.
But see, he makes me, my thing is, I love a heel. Yeah. Without a good heel, who gives a crap about the baby face?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't. You can't sell a baby face without a good heel. And people boo these guys that are heels, but you should be applauding them in the same sense. You know, a lot of these guys don't get the credit that they get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great ones out there. Then Stanley.
Stanley.
I was across the table getting an autograph from him. You know, presence of another great individual.
Great's not a good enough word for Stanley. He's a legend.
Legendary.
Yes. I don't even think legend's good enough. You know, no.
Eternal.
I'm not going to give him. I'm not going to give him a god status, but he would be like right there under.
Demigod.
Neath.
Yeah.
Right underneath the there.
Half man, half god.
You know, all just, Stanley. Just what he's done for the industry. And guys, even guys like him, we appreciate them so much for bringing us this. And then on the last little note, Mark gives me a little crap for this, but I liked it last year when I bought my Sith lightsaber, and I was
Wants to hear the stupid story.
I like this story, and I was leaving the convention floor to go upstairs,
yep,
the main floor, and a couple, about three kid teenagers dressed in
Sith. This is like the fourth time he's told this on
yes,
the show.
I love the story, but anyway, so they stayed in front of me. And they wouldn't let me pass, and they light up their lightsabers, and mine lit up red, and they let me pass. I thought that was freaking cool. Just keeping with the whole
that
cosplay.
You almost
and
got beat up by a bunch of teenagers, but luckily your lightsaber
yeah, they
was the right.
Beat the crap out of you with your lightsabers.
If they were if they're the dueling lightsabers,
they were.
Those hurt.
Yes,
I have one
whacked
at home.
Me with that.
And you know, sometimes I wish I would have. I think you went with the mid grade, right?
No, mine's full combat.
Yours is full combat like mine?
Yes.
Don't you get a, what color? Yeah, yours is red. I have a Lawson color.
I also have a Jedi one, green.
Oh, okay.
I upgraded it to the fighting.
You lose some color with that, though, with the Ultra Sabers.
Yeah, because it's a little darker because it's thicker material.
But you drop it, it's okay.
But you can figure you're going to play with it, and it's going to be nighttime some of the times when you really want to light it up. So that's pretty cool. I'm trying to think of, have I had really any bad experiences?
So how do we go from Calm Blizzard to Frank talking about playing with his lightsaber?
Anyway, bad experiences? Not too many. You know, just a little bit of communication. You know, hopefully their app this year will be
You got pointed at by Patrick Stewart for taking photos. That was awesome.
Yeah. You know? But Patrick Stewart. I hope this year whoever's running their app is a little bit more up to date or up to time with what's going on, because they last year or two, whenever it was that when Stan Lee was there and was trying to get his autograph, I was heading, his autograph session was at a certain time, but they changed the time and it didn't even get updated until after it was over with.
Not to defend Commonpalooza because I work with them, but people don't realize how expensive it is to update an app on a fly. Apps are very pricey and like you only get so many upgrades on an app daily, and when you're trying to send them to the company that runs your app or does the app store, it's very pricey.
I wonder if there's a way that, like, within the app, you could leave your phone number, and they can just send out a mass text, at least.
Yeah, then you're talking massive data in a building like that. So you got to think about this.
Text alerts.
40,000
yeah, like
people.
Text alerts.
But just, I think they've done a much... I think last year was a much better job being organized than it was in the past. For me, meeting Danny Trejo was probably top of the list. Just so cool when we approached him with the artwork with my friend, and he was shook our hand and looked us right in the eye and said, thank you so much, and signed it for us. And it's bad fucking ass. I got it on my wall over here, signed by Danny. That's probably a top one. Meeting Ernie Hudson a few years ago and just talking to him a few minutes was cool. This was before we even did the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I took a few minutes to talk with Ernie. He was a super nice guy. That was really cool. Meeting Jason Mewes.
Oh, yeah, Jason Mewes.
One of my heroes, along with... And Jason Mewes is not a hero because of the drugs he's done and stuff. Just, I appreciate what him and Kevin Smith have done for our age group in the genre of podcasting and being one of us. And so meeting Jason Mewes was really cool. Hanging out with Mike Zapsik and Ming Chen from Comic Men is always a pleasure. Just super nice guys. And those have been some of my top ones. Meeting Kevin Eastman, creator of the Ninja Turtles. That has to be a top one for me. And yeah, those are probably the best. I'm trying. I feel like I'm missing someone. Meeting George Perez a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, George Perez.
One of the best artists of all time. That's probably a good one. Meeting James O'Barr. Longtime fan of The Crow, and to finally meet him and talk with him was really neat. So a lot of good ones, you know. Bad experiences. Sean Marr from Firefly is a dick, and I will never talk to him again.
Wow.
He was probably the worst. That's probably the worst one. Other than, you know, most celebrities just are very polite. If you say, "Hey, will you do an interview?" No, I don't want to. They're most of the time polite. Sean Marr was just kind of a D-bag a few years ago, and whatever, you know.
You have any regrets?
Not
really. Like stuff that
you missed out on? I guess I should have spent the $80 to get Stan Lee's autograph, but, you know.
You, Matt?
There was a photo op with Eliza Dushku, but I just couldn't make it that Friday.
See, like, I love celebrity photos, but if they're, I just can't, if they're not, if I go to their booth, and I understand the big ones, why they don't do it. But if I go to their booth, like Ernie Hudson took a picture with me. I've got Michael Biehn a photo. I don't think I took one with him. If the, Chuck Huber did photos with. If they're not
gonna, he did a free one too.
If they're not going to do a quick photo at their booth with us or be cool about it, you're not getting my money to go stand in a booth and take a photo with you. I'm sorry.
Chuck was probably.
I just can't go spend $60 to $100 to take a photo, professional or not.
It's a lot.
You know, if you'll do a photo with me right there off my phone, that's cool. I'll do it. But I'm not giving you money. I understand giving people money for an autograph. I totally get it. They're celebrities. That's what they do. People like autographs. I have a few autographs over the years I've gotten from people. I have Peter Mayhew. I have the guy who played Uncle Owen. Mm-hmm. I do have some autographs over the years. But I'm not as into autographs as I used to be. Now, sports stars, that's a whole different thing. I think it's really cool to have your favorite baseball player sign a baseball, favorite football player sign a football. I think that's, in that genre of sports, that's more of an acceptable thing. Where there's actors, I think it's cool just to have a photo like, hey, look, Kay Beckinsale's my girlfriend.
Right. But, you know, some of the prices they charge for a selfie is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like $10. I understand. Right. You know, or 20 for a selfie or 10 and 10 for an autograph. So like balance out or something, or $10 for a picture if you get an autograph.
Chuck was like, his prices were so cheap. It was like $5 for a selfie, $5, another $5. He would leave a voicemail, you know, for you. Like he'd customize your voicemail,
you know, and that's what brings more people in, is because you don't overprice yourself. Right.
And because we were podcasters, he took all those. It was awesome taking Goofy selfies. He's like, one over here. Yeah. One over here.
He was taking them all.
Over here.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But my biggest regret, not staying like literally, I guess, 10 minutes longer the day that Mark ran into Booker T.
Booker T.
I left and Mark's like, it's literally like less than 10 minutes. He runs into Booker T. I'm like, son of a bitch. I could have fucking met Booker T.
Booker T is a big
boss.
He's
like, to me, in a sense, even though he's not technically born in Houston, he grew up pretty much here.
Yeah.
So to me, he's a home. And I would, like, when it came to the tag team division, wrestling growing up, they were my favorite bad guy team. You know, me and my friends, we were like, even though, you know, I'm as white as white could be, if we were playing bad guys, we had to be Harlem Heat.
Yeah, so Carpalooza 2017, we are about a little less than a month away. We'll be there May 12th, 13th, 14th. George R. Brown Convention Center, and
I'll be there whether these two
apologize for a little noise during the show there. My little one needed some help with the iPad as he watches his. He's obsessed with Humpty Dumpty videos right now.
Boy, is he obsessed.
It's weird. Like, he loves Humpty Dumpty all the time, so you need help with the iPad. So, hey.
Keep the eggs away from him.
You know, we have our adult obsessions. Yes. 69's included, Frank, right?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
But that's episode 69, dude. 69, dude.
Until 71.
Of the Rebel Radio. What's the 71?
That's 69 with two fingers up your ass.
And this has happened to Matt on several occasions. We all know
how his fingers.
We know how his wife wants a manhole.
Let's be honest, Matt. It's more in your case. It was more like a 74.
Probably so. And go to TrustMeOnTheJedi.com where you can find all the latest news in our podcast. Take the time to visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher. We are now on Google Play. I think you leave reviews on Google Play.
Yeah.
I've actually never looked. And
you don't do Google.
And it helps us out tremendously. And we look forward to bringing you the show at Comicpalooza and more. And we still got a few shows leading up to the weeks until Comicpalooza. And as always, thank you for listening. This has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
And this is Mark. Snoochie Boochies.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.